السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ. الحمد لله يا شيخ.
نبدأ إن
نعم يا شيخ.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari رحمه الله. On the days of Saturday and Sunday, like today. This book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, was compiled by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail Abu Abdullah Al-Bukhari. Yesterday, we came to Babu Dua Al-Akh Bi Dhahr Al-Ghayb, the chapter about in his absence, the individual makes supplication asking Allah for ease, asking Allah for protection, asking Allah for provision, asking Allah for sound health for his brother while that brother is absent. Behind your brother, you make dua for him. Behind your sister, dua for him. Behind your wife, you make dua for her. Behind your the individual supplicates for his brother behind him. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari brings us reports from the lines of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam and his companions radiallahu anhum. The first hadith we read yesterday under that chapter heading is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, when he reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who said, asra'u du'a'i ijabatan du'a'u ghaibin li ghaibin, asra'u du'a'i ijabatan du'a'u ghaibin li ghaibin, from the fastest, from the quickest of supplications to be answered. Quick, when you request it, when you make it, it will be answered with quickness. Asra'u du'a'i ijabatan, the quickest dua that gets a response is du'a'u ghaibin li ghaibin, is the supplication of someone who is absent from a place where his brother was. His brother is absent. He sent the dua to his brother. Dua'u ghaibin. So it's not restricted to a particular set of persons. It's not restricted to the mother to the child, or the child to the mother, or the husband to the wife, or the wife to the husband, because it comes with nakira, du'a'u غائبين. Any person from the people of Islam who is absent from a particular place but makes dua for his brother in that place in his absence, he comes under this category, and it encompasses every person who does that. Every kind of dua you make for your brother in absence, it comes from the quickest of dua to be answered. We explained to us that even though many of the scholars will say that this hadith is daif, we emphasized and affirm that this hadith is sahih, alal aqal, in the least of its opinion, of its stake, of its status, it will be hadithun hasan. Those who mention it daif, they say because it has in its isnad Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad ibn An'um al-Afrithi. This reporter was from the big scholars, from the scholars of Egypt. He has two issues the scholars count against him. The first is that they say he is a weak reporter of hadith. The second is that he reports a hadith with tadlis. He has issues of tadlis, meaning that if he reports a hadith, those who are mudallisun, if they report a hadith saying an fulan, the hadith will not be considered to be linked, to have a connected chain. Why? Because the person saying an is a mudallis, and mudallisun will say, we report it from that person, and at least is required to rawi ma lam an shaykhihi ma lam yasma' minhu. A reporter reports from his sheikh something that he has not heard from him. So if he says an sheikh fulan, I'm reporting from so fulan, he might have actually heard it from him himself, and he might have heard it through a wasita, through another person who heard it from his own sheikh. But because it is his sheikh, it has two meanings. The an'ana could mean that he heard it directly from sheikh, and the an'ana could mean that he heard it through a connecting person from sheikh. But he has not told a lie to say that it was from sheikh and sheikh. Aw qala sheikh, our sheikh said. But he himself did not hear it. So the scholars give a condition. If a person is known to report a hadith like this, the condition is that until we hear him say, Sami to sheikh and aqal, I heard our sheikh. In that sense, it removes every possibility that he had reported it from the sheikh with a wasita, because he said sami'tu, and the mudallis is not kazab, it's not a liar. So if you say sami'tu, yuhmal ala as-sama, yuhmal ala ittisal, it will be understood to mean that he actually heard it, and the link is connected. So these two issues were ascribed to Rahman ibn Ziyad, that is a weak reporter of hadith and is a mudallis. If he reports with al-an'ana from his own sheikh, it will be given as a condition that he has to clearly say, I heard from sheikh. In this snad, we brought the statements of al-Imam al-Bukhari, reported from him by al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in his book al-Ilal al-Kabir, where al-Imam al-Bukhari yuqawwi amrahu, was mentioning him to be a strong person in his reports, meaning Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad. Likewise, we mentioned the statements of al-Imam Ahmad ibn Salih al-Misri. We also mentioned the statements of al-Imam Abdullah ibn Wahab. We also mentioned the statements of al-Imam Suhnun, Abdus Salam Suhnun, aw Sahnun, from the scholars of Egypt. All of these go to affirm that Abdurrahman ibn Ziyad al-Afrithi was a reliable reporter of hadith. We referred us to Sharh Sunan Ibn Majah by Al-Imam Alauddin Al-Mughlatai with the tahqiq of Sheikh Ibrahim Ibn Abi Al-Aynain. He discussed the status of Abdurrahman Ibn Ziyad Ibn An'um in great detail, and the conclusion is that his hadith is Hassan. He is not a weak reporter of hadith. The second issue mentioned regarding him, Tadlis, we'll see that this particular report, he said, Qal Ali Abdullah. Abdullah said to me, he has not reported it bil an'ana. So that makes us understand that those two problems he had, for which this hadith was declared weak by some of the scholars, those problems are explained. The hadith is sound bi'idhnillah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Asra'u du'a'i ijabatan du'a'u ghaibin li ghaibin. After that, we came to the report of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, reported from him by Abu Abdullah al-Sunabihi. We told us about al-Sunabihi, Abu Abdullah, that Muqaddam, who was coming all the way from Yemen to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was 5 days late. 5 days before he arrived in Al-Madinah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. When he got to Juhfa, all the way from Yemen, he got to Juhfa, he heard about the Prophet's passing away. So by the time he arrived in Al-Madinah, it was in the Khilafah of who? Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. So Abu Abdullah al-Sunabihi, Abdurrahman ibn Usayla ibn Asalin, ibn Asalin, rahimahullah, is a mukhadram. He was not a companion. Why? He did not meet the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the lessons that he took from Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was that he said, Inna da'wat al-akh fi Allah tustajab. Inna da'wat al-akh fi Allah tustajab. Certainly the supplications of your brother in your deen, the supplication of your brother who is a Muslim for you, tustajab, that dua, it will be granted. That dua will be answered. That request will be provided when your brother from the people of Islam makes dua for you. Bi-idhnillah, Allah will accept it. After that, we came to the hadith of Safwan ibn Abdullah ibn Safwan. Safwan ibn Abdullah ibn Safwan was the husband of Darda, the son of the daughter of Ummu Darda and Abu Darda. Abu Darda, we explained to us in the class yesterday, he had two Ummu Dardas. Ummu Darda al-Kubra, that was a companion. She died during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Ummu Darda al-Sughra, the one that he married after the first Ummu Darda. This second Ummu Darda was the one who actually gave birth to Ad-Darda. This Darda, her husband was Safwan ibn Abdullah ibn Safwan. Safwan ibn Abdullah ibn Safwan was the husband of who? Darda. The daughter of who? Abu Darda and Ummu Darda al-Sughra. Ummu Darda al-Kubra did not give birth to Darda. The one who actually gave him the Darda with which he had taken a kunya was who? Ummu Darda al-Sughra, rahimahullah. She was from the people of knowledge. She reported a lot of ahadith, and she was from the scholars of fiqh. Her daughter Darda was married to Safwan ibn Abdullah ibn Safwan. When Safwan came to Sham, Safwan said, rahimahullah, qadimtu alayhim al-Sham. I arrived to them in Sham. He came to Sham. And he went, of course, to the house of Abu Darda. Abu Darda was not around. when he arrived, it was Ummu Darda al-Sughra, the mother of his wife, that he met in the house. While after their discussions, Ummu Darda rahimahullah asked Safwan, Aturidul Hajj al-Aam? Do you intend to make Hajj this year? We mentioned that this is evidence that we can be asked by those who are nearby us, our close friends, our parents, our in-laws, close to us. They can ask us, Aturidul Hajj al-Aam? Are you intending the Hajj of the year? That is this year's Hajj. Are you intending to go for Hajj? Fakultu Naam. Safwan said, yes, I want to go for Hajj. Qalat, Ummu Darda said to Safwan, the husband of her daughter, Rahimahumullah, Fadu'ullah lana dhari. Make dua for us when you go for Hajj. You go for Hajj? Fadu'ullah lana bi khayr. I always say this, was asking Safwan, are you intend Hajj? Yes, I intend Hajj. Fadu Allah lana bi khairin. Beg Allah for goodness for us. Maybe that the man wants to marry. Beg Allah for nikah for me. It may be that the man wants to write an exam. Beg Allah to make me pass my exam. The man may have a debt on him. Hey, beg Allah to make me pay my debts. For her, she was general. Beg Allah for goodness for us. It means we can beg our brothers who go for Hajj, who go for Umrah. Beg Allah for us. Pray for us. Make dua for us. Because of the place, because of the time, because of the circumstance that Hujjaj and Mu'tamirun come into, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he called Hujjaj and Mu'tamirun. He said they are Wafdullah. Da'ahum fa'ajabu. They are Allah's delegates. Hujjaj, when you go for Hajj, you are delegates coming to Allah. Mu'tamirun, when you go for Umrah, you are Allah's delegates. Da'ahum Allah. Allah invited you. Fa'ajabuhu. And they answered Allah's invitation. Sa'aluhu. They will be asking Allah. Requesting from Allah. They will be asking him and he will grant them their request. So the condition, that's a special condition. If you are not at Hajj, you cannot be in that condition. You cannot be called in that circumstance to be from the wafd delegates that Allah is receiving in his house of Hanahud. He was the one who invited them and they came. This is a special condition. And when the condition is special, the du'as are also answered. When the place is special, the du'a are answered. When the time of the year is special, the du'a are answered. So we can share in the time of the year, Al-Ashrul Awakhir, in Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Go. Now, Al-Awail, we are Al-Uwal, we are joining in that. We join in first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, whether you are in Ihram or not, we all join in the first 10 days. Just like it can be for the last 10 days of Ramadan too. Al-Ashrul Awakhir in Ramadan. We all join in that. But the place, you are not there. That delegation, you are not there. Except you are in Ihram. The place, the time, and the condition of Ihram. In all of these, there are barakats from Allah for those who are in them. So this is the reason why the early Muslim, you could see Ummu Darda was asking Safwan ibn Abdullah ibn Safwan, Aturidul Hajj al-Am? Do you intend to make Hajj this year? He said, yes. Fadu'ullah lana khair. Beg Allah for goodness for us. Ask Allah to grant us goodness. When you go for Hajj in Makkah, فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم will say, إن دعوة المرء المسلم مستجابة لأخيه بظهر الغيب. إن دعوة المرء المسلم, the dua of the Muslim person for his brother مستجابة لأخيه. The dua that he makes for his brother are mustajaba. May Allah make this easy for us. How is it? How is that istijaba? How does it happen? How is that answering? How does it happen? The Prophet explained, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the ra'sihi malakun. When you make dua for your brother, you have an angel, malakun muwakkalun. That is the job that he has been assigned to do. What is that job? Kullama da'a li akhihi bi khair. Each time you ask your brother for goodness. Ikhwa, let us underline it. It is when you are asking him for goodness. You are asking Allah for goodness regarding your brother. When you ask Allah for goodness regarding your brother, this one will happen. So it does not happen when you ask Allah for sins. You ask Allah for your brother to be able to commit a sin. It will not happen. But when you ask for goodness, because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullama da'a li akhihi bi khair. Each time he begs for goodness for his brother, the malak, the angel assigned for that job says, Amin. Amin. May Allah grant it. Allah make my brother a brilliant person. Says, Amin. Oh Allah, grant my brother sound health. Amin. Oh Allah, give my brother righteous children. Amin. Oh Allah, protect my brother from particular evils and evils in the general sense. Amin. Oh Allah, grant my brother retention. Each time you say all of these, the malak says, Amin. Wa laka bi mithlin. Yes, they like it. Safwan ibn Abdullah ibn Safwan said, Falaqitu Aba Darda fi souq. So I went out, I went away, perhaps in search of Abu Darda, who was not at home, the father of my wife. I had seen the mother of my wife. Here now the father of my wife. So I went out searching, and I saw him in the marketplace. We mentioned yesterday that this is evidence that the scholars amongst the early Muslims used to go to the market too to buy and sell. Abu Darda was from the learned people amongst the companions, radiallahu anhu. Even the messenger did. He went to the market. So Sheikh, don't say, we cannot go to market. You can go to the market. The Prophet used to go, alayhi salatu wasalam. The companions would be in the market, radiallahu anhum. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq, Uthman ibn Affan, these are merchants. Merchants in the category of billions in our own times, radiallahu anhum. So I met Abu Darda in the market. So some of the people can say, hey, you went to meet your in-law in the market. Yes, that's his office. Like you're going to someone's office to meet him. So he met Abu Darda Fisuk Fakola Mithla Dalik. Abu Darda said the like of what Ummu Darda had said. Make dua for us when you go for Hajj. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who makes dua for his brother, that dua is mustajaba. When you make dua for your brother, Allah will accept. So ikhwa, it's not just about complaining that one brother, he has bid'ah. Make dua for him. One brother has inhiraf. Make dua for him. It's not just about tabdi. Guide him, teach him, explain to him. Behind him, make dua for him. And the more you ask Allah for guidance for your brother, the more you get it too. The angel will say, Amin, walaka bi mithlin. Amin, walaka bi mithlin. May your dua be answered for the brother. May you get the like of it. May you get, if you have a mania, you have something you do that does not make your dua become accepted, whether you recall or you don't recall. How about the dua of the malak for you? That one does not have mania. So if you say, may Allah grant provisions for my brother, the angel says, Amin. may Allah answer it. If your dua has a problem, you have a reason why it will not be answered. That of the malak, the angel, does not have an issue. So if the brother does not get what you are asking for him because of one reason depending on you, that one from the angel for you will come to you. I know brothers, and I mentioned this in class yesterday. They always make dua for the other. If you want something, look for somebody who has it or who needs it. Pray for that thing, for that person. Allah will provide you. This is a recipe. Is it recipe or recipe? It's a recipe. Recipe for hazard. Instead of spending the time to become jealous of the thing, if you pray that for him, what is he with beefing your brother? I mean, get busy with dua, and Allah has a lot of fadl and rahim, very merciful and compassionate. So why not ask him? You ask Allah. ولا تتمنى لنصيب مما اكتسب وللنساء نصيب مما واسأل الله من فضله for your brother so that you get aside some of the good people sectors. So our hadith with which we start today is hadith 626, where al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah said, Haddathana Musa ibn Ismail wa Shihabun qala haddathana Hammadun an Atai ibn Sa'ib an Abihi an Abdullah ibn Amr qala rajulun Allahumma ighfir li wa li Muhammadin wa دنا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لقد حجبتها عن ناس كثير لقد حجبتها عن ناس كثير. الإمام البخاري reports this hadith from his Sheikh Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabuzaki. Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabuzaki Abu Salama rahimahullah, from the teachers of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, and he has reported a number of ahadith from him in this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and likewise in his Sahih, Sahih Al-Bukhari. But here he is reporting from two of them at the same time. Musa ibn Ismail al-Tabuzaki and Shihab. That is Al-Imam Shihab ibn al-Mu'ammar. Shihab ibn al-Mu'ammar al-Balkhi. Abu al-Azhar. Shihabun ibn al-Mu'ammar. Abu al-Azhar. Al-Balkhi. So these are the two sheikhs of Al-Imam al-Bukhari for this hadith. They reported from Hamad, Siqala, the two of them, separately. Al-Imam Bukhari took the hadith from Ismail ibn Musa ibn Ismail, separately. He also took the hadith from Shihab ibn al-Mu'ammar, separately. Well, the two of them were mentioning who? Hamad ibn Salama. Look at the scholars of hadith. Musa ibn Ismail lived in his own world. Likewise, Shihab ibn al-Mu'ammar lived in his own world. He will report a hadith from this one separately. He reports from this separately from the same sheikh, and he's reporting the same hadith, the same expressions from the two of them. No ummah, no community of people upon a deen knows this except the people of Islam. It's not. The two of them said, Haddathana Hamad. They did not know perhaps one another. They both received from the same teacher. Separately, Bukhari meets this. He got exactly the same report from him. He meets this one. He got exactly the same report from him. The two of them returned to the same sheikh, Hamad ibn Salam. Rahimahullah. So this hadith comes from Al-Imam Hamad ibn Salama, rahimahullah, who was reporting from his own sheikh, Al-Imam Atta'u ibn Sa'ib. This is not Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah. This is Atta'u ibn Sa'ib, rahimahullah. He was now reporting from his own father. It was his father who was a companion, As-Sa'ib ibn Malik. Atta'u ibn Sa'ib, it was his own father, As-Sa'ib ibn Malik, reporting this time also from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. So you can see this is not. It ends with the companion Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, who said, qala rajulun, a man said, when this man said it, it was in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. There's a second report of these incidents from Abu Huraira. It is possible that there are two incidences, and it is possible that it is one and the same incidents. We'll come back to the second incident. This first incident was reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, that a man said, Allahumma ghfir li wa li Muhammadin wahdana. Allahumma ghfir li, oh Allah, forgive me, wa li Muhammadin, forgive Muhammad to wahdana, me and him alone. Look at the Bedouins. Oh Allah, Allahumma ghfir li wa li Muhammadin wahdana. Oh Allah, forgive me, forgive Muhammad alone. As if to say, after the two of us, don't forgive any other person. The Prophet was there, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Faqala al-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, laqad hajabtaha an nasin kathir. You have disconnected it. You have removed a lot of people from this thing. Oh my brother, this forgiveness of Allah. Laqad hajabtaha. You have disconnected it. You have blocked it. With this your dua, you have blocked this thing from a lot of people, and that's in kathir. You have blocked this from a lot of people, and this is something that should go to everybody. This is evidence that rather than say it for you and me alone, oh Allah, maybe you are a brother from six in your family, six of you. You have two girls, four boys. You begin to make dua, oh Allah, make me rich. Don't make any of my brothers rich. Oh Allah, make me rich so that I'll be the one providing for my brothers. Don't make that kind of a dua. Don't make that kind of a dua. I know somebody who used to tell me that he used to make dua like that. Allah, make me rich so that I'll be the one who is spending on the rest of my brothers. What are you saying? The rest of your brothers should be poor. You should be rich. You have disconnected that favor of Allah from a lot of people. Don't do that. Some of the people in classrooms, they say, Allah, make me pass. Yes, you can say, make me the best. But all others are also upon goodness. You can struggle for the best. Just like any one other person can struggle for the best. But to now come back and say, don't make any other person to get good results except me. Like this man said, oh Allah, forgive. Allahumma gfirli wa li Muhammadin wahd. This wahdana is hasr. Oh Allah, forgive me and Muhammad alone. Don't say that. That is like we will see in the second report. In the second report, it was reported by Abu Huraira. And that hadith occurs in Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. It also occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu anhu, قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم في صلاة وقمنا معه. The Prophet stood up عليه الصلاة والسلام to observe salah. We stood up with the Prophet for salah. عليه الصلاة والسلام. فقال عربي وهو في الصلاة. بدوين. Why did they say عربي? The man was from desert. He came. They have one way they behave. That those people who stay far away. We read a hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discouraged us from staying in remote villages, far away areas. لِأَنَّ مَنْ بَدَى جَفَاءَ The one who stays in far away remote areas, you'll be behaving like someone who is strange. His behaviors will be coarse. His behavior will be difficult. When he speaks, you'll notice that he's from a remote area, perhaps from a village. The Prophet said, Man bada jafa alayhi salatu wasalam. If you stay in remote areas, when you come to the city, people will know that he just came into the city. Even your mode of dressing, it will reflect that you reside in the village. The clothes may not even be ironed if they are new, because there is no power and electricity in remote areas. And things like that. In fact, in a hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he likened staying in remote areas to staying in the grave. He says, La taskun al kafur. Don't live in remote areas. He says, Fa inna sakin al kafur, because those who live in the remote areas, kasakin al kubur, they are like those in the village, in the graves. Why? Because those in the graves, they don't know what is happening in the world, alive. So that's why the same way those in remote areas, they don't know what's happening in the cities. They are disconnected from knowledge. They are disconnected from information. They are disconnected from hadara, civilization. They are disconnected from meeting with other people from other places with high level standard behaviors. So they are coarse a bit. So one of those, the Bedouins from the remote areas, he came. And he was with us in that salah. فَقَالَ عَرَبِيٌ وَهُوَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ So one of the Bedouins, while in salah, was saying that, اللَّهُمَ ارْحَمْنِي وَمُحَمَّدًا وَلَا تَرْحَمْ مَعْنَا أَحَدًا Oh Allah, show your mercy on me, show your mercy on Muhammad. وَلَا تَرْحَمْ مَعْنَا أَحَدًا Don't, apart from the two of us, don't show mercy on any other person. Bedouin. اللَّهُمَّ ارْحَمْنِي وَمُحَمَّدًا Oh Allah, show mercy on me, show mercy on Muhammad. That's referring to the Prophet Muhammad. You know those companions who reside in the cities, they will not say Muhammad. They will call and refer to him as what? Rasulullah. But the man is far away, they don't just came. Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammadan. Oh Allah, show mercy on me, show mercy on Muhammad. Wa la tarham ma'na ahadan. Along with the two of us, don't add any other person to that mercy. فَلَمَّا سَلَّمَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لِلْأَعْرَابِ When the Prophet made taslim and ended his salah, he said to that Bedouin who had come from remote village, لَقَدْ حَجَّرْتَ وَاسِعًا لَقَدْ حَجَّرْتَ You have restricted وَاسِعًا Something that is vast and open. Something that is wide, something that is vast, something that is expanse, something that is profuse and tremendous. You have caught it. لقد حجرت واسعا يعني تريد رحمة الله. You have disconnected something that is far open to everybody. What does that mean? رحمة, Allah's رحمة. When he said اللهم ارحمني ومحمدا ولا ترحم معنا أحدا. Oh Allah, show mercy on me, show mercy on Muhammad. After the two of us, don't show mercy on any other person. So some of the scholars say that it is possible that this dua, these incidents happened on different occasions. On one occasion, one was reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. The man just said it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided him. The other one reported by Abu Huraira in Sahih al-Bukhari. Perhaps that one happened on another occasion. And you would see with a bigger clarity that it happened when the man was on Salah. Maybe on his at-tashahud al-akhir. He was making dua in tashahud. Allahumma arhamni warham muhammadan. Wa la tarham ma'ana ahadan. Oh Allah, show mercy on me. Be compassionate with me. Me and Muhammad alone. Wa la tarham ma'ana ahadan. Don't show mercy on any other person. So don't be in a class, make dua for yourself. For success. I say, for people to know that you are a very successful man. Oh Allah. Don't make any of my classmates to be successful. Faqad hajjarta wasi'an. You are restricting something that is purpose, the basic rule that Allah has given to us as the people of Iman is to make dua for our brothers. That's why in Al-Hashr, he told us about the people of Iman. What do they say? Rabbana ghfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabakuna. For God, forgive us to Allah. Wali ikhwanina, forgive our brothers too. So you cannot say, Allahumma gfirli, oh Allah, forgive me. Wali Muhammadin, oh Allah, forgive Muhammad. Wahdana, only us, we alone. As if to say, don't forgive any other person except myself and Muhammad. That's why in that report of Abu Huraira, it was clearer. The man said, Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammadan. Oh Allah, show mercy on me. Show mercy on Muhammad. Wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. After the two of us, don't show mercy on any other person. Don't make this kind of a dua. So this means when we make dua, don't just restrict it to yourself alone. By way of disconnecting others, you can ask for yourself. We are coming back to that. Oh Allah, Allahumma arhamni. It's not a condition for dua. That each time you make dua for yourself, you must make dua for others. This is not what we are saying. So don't ask me this question at question time. Are you saying that each time I make dua, I must make dua for others? No, that's not what we are saying. We are encouraged to make dua for others. You are also encouraged to make dua for yourself. But while making dua for yourself, don't disconnect others. Allah, help me alone. Don't help my brothers. Make them be dependent on me. Don't make that kind of a dua. I know somebody, he's always repeating it to me, that his dua from time is that Allah should enrich him so that he will be the one giving to his brothers and his sisters. That is implying that they should be poor. You should be rich. Don't make this kind of a dua. Don't make this kind of a dua. You can now make dua for yourself. Oh Allah, make me rich. Make me found in health. Make me. You don't have to mention somebody else. But if you mention somebody else, let it be upon goodness. Don't forget. That was why Ummu Darda said to Safwan ibn Abdullah ibn Safwan, Ud'u Allah lana bi khairin. Beg Allah to give us goodness. When you say Allah should not enrich them, is that goodness? You are making dua for them actually, but you are cursing them. So don't disconnect the people from Allah's mercy. From the dua that you make. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in a hadith reported by Al-Imam al-Tabarani rahimahullah in his Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, man istaghfara lil mu'minina wa lil mu'minat katab Allahu lahu bi kulli mu'minin wa mu'minatin hasanatan. Man istaghfara lil mu'minina anyone who begs Allah to forgive the people of Iman, male, وللمؤمنات. The people of Iman, females. Allahumma ighfir lilmu'minina walilmu'minat. I'm already saying my own. Oh Allah, forgive the people of Iman, males. Oh Allah, forgive the people of Iman, females. Allahumma ighfir lilmu'minin walilmu'minat. If you say this dua, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ وَمُؤْمِنَةٍ حَسَنَةً. Allah writes goodness for you with the number of every person of Iman, male and female. So if there are 1 billion Muslims, male and female, for each of them you get a reward. Why? You made dua for each of them. Allahumma ighfir lilmu'minina wa lilmu'minat. Allahumma ighfir lilmu'minina wa lilmu'minat. Oh Allah, forgive the people of Iman, males. Oh Allah, forgive the people of Iman, females. If you do this, you have the number of the people of Iman, males and females, that this dua goes on to. For each of them, you have the dua for them. You have the rewards. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ وَمُؤْمِنَةٍ حَسَنَةً. Allah, for each of them, you have rewards. For each of them, you have rewards. How many groups of rewards do you have? The number of Muslims. So if you have 2 billion Muslims, if you have 3 billion Muslims on the surface of the earth, you have rewards like that in billions too. So you see that just one expression earns you rewards in billions. This also goes to explain that. Make dua for your brother, make dua for him. Make dua, beg Allah to enrich him, beg Allah to provide for him, beg Allah to perfect his affairs, beg Allah to forgive him, beg Allah to grant him righteous children, instead of spending time to look for how to declare him a person of bid'ah. Spend time to beg Allah to make him be from the people of Sunnah. It was a very common thing amongst the early Muslims, making dua for themselves. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, his son Abdullah, he says he hears his father making Qiyamul Layl. He has a note in his sujood in the middle of the night. Imam Ahmad, he has scholars, he's making dua for them. On the head of them was Al-Imam Shafi. Ahmad ibn Hanbal will be So it is very necessary that we pay attention to that hadith. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As reported that qala rajulun, we came back to hadith 626. Qala rajulun, Allahumma ighfir li wa li Muhammadin wahdana. Oh Allah, forgive Muhammad and forgive me, the two of us alone. Don't join any other person to us. Wa qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then responded, لَقَدْ حَجَبْتَهَا عَنْ نَاسٍ كَثِيرٍ. You have disconnected it from a lot of people. And this thing is something that is for everybody. Allah's forgiveness to make dua for the people of Iman. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا يَحْيَى الْخَبَّابُ عَنْ مُجَاهِدٍ عَنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ قَالَ آله وسلم يستغفر اغفر لي وتب علي وتب علي in Hadith 627, Al Imam al Bukhari reports it from his Sheikh Jandal ibn Waliq, Abu Ali al Kufi, who said, Hadathana Yahya ibn Ya'la, Yahya ibn Ya'la al Aslami. Yahya ibn Ya'la al Aslami is a Yahya ibn Ya'la al-Aslami is a weak reporter of hadith. So basically this hadith is weak, but it is corroborated with hadith 618. Go back to hadith 618. You see that it takes a strengthening. This hadith is confirmed strengthened from hadith 618. Go back to that. It takes strength from it. Despite the fact that we have Yahya ibn Ya'la in this isnad, who is a weak reporter of hadith. He is reporting from Yunus ibn Khabbab, Abu Hamza al-Kufi, Yunus ibn Khabbab, Abu Hamza al-Kufi, rahimahullah. He is the sheikh in this hadith of Yahya ibn Ya'la. And Yunus ibn Khabbab is reporting from Mujahid al-Makki. That is Imam Mujahid ibn ibn Jabrin al-Makki. Astaghfirullah fi al-majlis mi'ata marra. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yastaghfirullah fi al-majlis, asking Allah for forgiveness in a single gathering, mi'ata marra, 100 times. You'll be counting it. What will he be saying? Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya warhamni innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Additional information. Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka antat tawwabur rahim occurs in the last isnad. But don't forget, this isnad is da'if. And that is where the ziyada occurs, warhamni. So a safe thing is still to leave it without warhamni. This warhamni is ziyada, that is da'ifa. What is sound is for you to say, Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya. Warhamni does not occur in the corroborating isnad. So don't add warhamni. Say, Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. O Allah, forgive me. Wa tub alayya. Grant me the tawfiq. Grant me the success to always ask for tawbah. And when I ask for tawbah, forgive me. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. You are the one who absolutely turns to your servant and pardoning him. And then you are ar-rahim. You are absolutely merciful and compassionate. The Prophet would say this alayhi salatu wasalam regularly. Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Even when he starts to keep, he's saying something silently by way of earning rewards, asking Allah for pardon and obeying the instruction from Allah that he should seek for forgiveness, seeking closeness to Allah by making istighfar. So why has Al-Imam al-Bukhari brought this hadith again under the chapter about asking for dua for your brother? It is to make us understand that the fact that we say ask for dua for your brother does not mean you cannot ask for dua for yourself alone. If you look at this dua, the Prophet said in it, Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. He is making dua for himself alone. So it means it is lawful. You can make dua for yourself alone. Allahumma rzuqni innaka anta ar-razzaq al-wahhab. Allahumma rzuqni, you can make this dua. Oh Allah, provide me wealth. Provide me wealth. You can say, Allahumma allimni ma yanfa'uni. Oh Allah, teach me what will benefit me. Innaka anta al-alimul khabir. You are the one that is absolutely knowledgeable and absolutely aware of all things. You can say this for yourself. It does not mean that each time you make dua, you have to make dua for your brother. No, this is not what we are saying here. We are rather saying that it is encouraged to make dua for your brother. And when you make dua for your brother, make dua for goodness. When you make dua for yourself, don't say for yourself alone, because that will cut you off making dua for your brother for goodness, as we have been encouraged in the Quran and as we have been encouraged in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This chapter, the entirety of it, it's about du'a'ul akh bi dhahril ghaib, a brother's dua for his brother in the absence of his brother. Bi'idhnillah, the chapter is the chapter where Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions the dua of the early Muslims, the kinds of dua they made, the kinds of dua that the companions were making, radiallahu anhu. Bi'idhnillah, we'll come back to it. It starts it with the dua of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, from Allah. By that, we will take guidance from their own lines of conduct to know how do we make dua. What should I be asking for? Because sometimes when we say make dua, so what should I ask for? Some people think they don't have any problems at all. So what will I ask for? He thinks he has a house. He thinks he has a car. He thinks he has a job. He has a wife and he does not have a problem with his wife. He has children. And he does not have a problem with his children. So he's thinking, what will I ask Allah for? He's thinking like that. He thinks he does not have problems. Because we usually think that it is when we have problems we should make dua. No, making dua is obeying Allah. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي. Your Lord says, call unto me, make dua to me. So when you make dua, you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you have a need or not, you make dua, whether you have a need or not, you are begging Allah. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make istighfar. It's not because he has sins of seeking, so make dua. So by reading and from the dua of the early Muslims are in these circumstances too. So these are the lessons that we need to draw from the chapter subsequently. But from this, I think that suffices for a class, more so that internet has been really, really blocked in the Ikhwa. Abu Abdurrahman, can we go on to the question and answer?
Naam, ya Shaykh, ana salatullah alaykum.
Ameen, ameen wa iyaakum.
First question is, ya Shaykh, what if we pray for our brother in their presence, but silently? Does it have the same ruling that the angels say?
We have discussed this in class yesterday. It shouldn't have come as a question. We have answered this question yesterday in class. The entirety of what we have discussed does not contradict praying for your brother separately, whether in front of him or even praying for him and telling him that I prayed for you, because he will find joy in it. He will find happiness in it. When you made the dua, he was not aware. But you saw him worried. So you assure him, don't be worried. I made dua regarding this matter too. There's no blame in that. There's no blame in all of these. We are just talking about what we should be doing regarding ourselves. One of them does not negate the other. I hope that it is clear. Because we say make dua for him behind him does not now mean that it is not proper to make dua for him in front of him. The Prophet made dua for the companions radiallahu anhum in front of the emphasize one thing today. It does not negate another lawful thing that we had mentioned earlier. Let's not make as if everything we discuss one part is always contradicting the other part. No, it is various parts being explained as long as they are within the latitude of lawfulness. So say make dua behind your brother does not mean don't make dua in front of him. It does not mean so. نعم أبا عبد الرحمن.
جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ.
آمين آمين وإياكم. There's a question in the class. You mentioned that we start our dua with Alhamdulillah, but we also heard that we start dua with words of praises such as Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and others. Are both start accepted? Like I just said now, that we said something should be done in a particular way does not negate that there is another lawful way that we can do it. If you say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, does it contradict you to start your dua with praising Allah, saying Alhamdulillah? It does not contradict it. It does not, let's not present this religion like one single mode. You have to do it. No, so many the paths of goodness are wide. Don't forget, as long as it has a proof, it has a hadith backing it to say that it's also lawful, then it's lawful. It is just another way of doing it. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam encouraged us to praise Allah, say Alhamdulillah, say Salatu ala Nabi when we start our dua. Does this mean if you don't say Salatu ala Nabi at the beginning, you don't say Alhamdulillah at the beginning, you went straight to be asking Allah for your needs, does it mean that the dua will not be answered? It doesn't mean so. Please let us be considering these matters properly before we ask about them. It doesn't mean so, and the class did not say so. So they are all lawful means of doing one thing. Don't forget, as long as that approach is also lawfully established in a hadith, then it is lawful. If it is not established, you set it aside for something that is established. I hope that it is clear. Ameen wa iyyakum. Now,
another question is,
somebody is asking, can riya prevent dua from being answered, such as the one who makes video in haram making dua? Alaykum assalam. I've discussed this in class yesterday. The person asking about video in haram. We were extensive on it yesterday in class. Now,
this question is, which book can one read to have knowledge about the attributes of Allah and their meaning?
There are many books. If you are a person who reads in Arabic, Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi has one, Asma'ullahi wa Sifat. Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim has, Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, he has. There are other scholars too who have written books on Asma'ullah. شيخ محمد بن صالح العثيمين إيحاس. He wrote Al-Qawaid al-Musla. In his sharh on Kitab al-Tawheed, Al-Qawl al-Mufid, he made a sharh of Al-Qawaid al-Musla in his sharh of Al-Qawl al-Mufid under the chapter on Allah's name and attributes, Asma'ullahi wa Sifat. Wasifatuhu. So there are books, a lot of books, a lot on this bab from the scholars of Sunnah. You can go to any of those books that we had mentioned. But in English language, I think a book was translated and published by Darus Salam. I wouldn't remember the name now on Al-Asma'u wa Sifat, Allah's names and His attributes. Allahu A'lam. Amin wa iyyakum mabad rahman.
Another question is, can we name our daughter Darda?
Can we name our daughter Darda? Yes, you can name your daughter Darda. The early Muslims did it. So you have Ummu Darda. Now you have Darda. You can name your daughter as Darda, bismillah. The simple evidence is that a companion named his daughter Darda. We didn't find another companion coming to tell him, don't name your daughter Darda. So you can name your daughter Darda. One of the ways to know the names we can bear is to look at what the companions were doing, radiallahu anhum, and the names that they gave to their brothers, to their children. Can we call it a day today?
No,
that's okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sorry.